Okay, the boys say today's daf is daf Samach Beis. We're holding the final line of Samach Aleph Amid Beis. The Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah. Back in the Mishnah, we had on the third line, HaTalmidim Yoitzim LaTalmud Torah Shaloi Bereshus Shaloi Shim Yoim. Even though a man has to supply She'er Ksus V'Oina, Oina means Tashmish to his wife when they get married. However, each person, it depends on their profession, it depends on their business, when they're available, when they're not available. There's no one rule that fits all. So if, for instance, the Talmidim, Yoitzim LaTalmud Torah, those that go out to learn in Kollel, they're allowed to leave their wives, even without permission, for 30 days. Because presumably, she understood when they got married that this was going to be the strong possibility, if not likelihood. This was something that they agreed to. That's shaloi bershus, is automatically shaloi shemir. Pray tomorrow, and bershus kama. What happens if she does authorize? In other words, he asks his wife and says, I want to go away to learn. How long can he go, even though he's depriving her of tashmish hamita? So tomorrow, kama demoy. Whatever they agreed to, they could theoretically agree to 12 years, as we'll see in Mi'at Hashem on the Amid Beis. What's the normal derech eretz, says Rashi? What's the normal steiger? What would you normally expect under typical situations? Rashi adds derech eretz le'yisa olav chet, that he shouldn't be going around with a burden of chet, of sin. Even if he's able to persuade her that she should authorize it. Now what chet is Rashi referring to? So the Mefarshim explain that even though he's able to convince his wife about the importance of learning, and that's the reason why he wants to go away for a year or for 6 months or whatever it happens to be, and she goes and nods, it could very well be that that's only from the external. Internally, she feels very upset because after all, she's entitled to Tashmish Shemitah, one of the reasons why she got married, and she feels upset to be alone without her husband. So that's Shalisa Levchait. What's the normal amount that one could typically expect? We're not talking about the greatest tzaddikim in the generation. We're not talking about Chas V'Shalom Rasha. We're talking about a standard, normal individual. What would be the right period of time that he would go away? And he doesn't have to worry about that she harbors a terrible grudge against him. So, Kama, how much would that be? Omer Rav, Chodesh Kan V'Chodesh Babayis. If he did a rotation of 1 month at home, 1 month away. 1 month at home, 1 month away. Where do we take this from? Shnema. We have a pasuk, and the pasuk is referring to those that were working for David HaMelech. What's the pasuk? In the Torah Ora Shalom, it's number one. Uvnei Yisrael, l'misporam, roshi ha'ovois, v'sori, ha'alofim, ha'meois, v'choytreim, ha'mishorisim, ha'samelech. These are those that are helping out to be mishorisim, civil service on behalf of the king. L'chol devar ha'mach l'kois. For all of the machloikis here, of course, doesn't mean chas v'sholem a machloikis in the traditional sense. Here, machlokois means divisions, garrisons, groups. Habo'o v'hayoytzis, those that come and go, chodesh v'chodesh, every other month or every month, l'chol chodesh yashana, for all the months of the year. So what does all of that mean? So Rashi tells us that even though the pasuk pshat and the pasuk could mean that a person is leaving his home to work 1 month a year on behalf of David HaMelech. However, because the pasuk used the expression Habo'o v'hayoytzis chodesh v'chodesh, coming and going, month by month, that gives the sense of it that we're talking about every other month. Let's take a quick look at the Rashi, second line from the top. Chol dvar ha-machlokois, Habo'o v'hayoytzis chodesh v'chodesh, v'divri ha-yomim. Machlokois, those are the divisions. Shehoyu oivdim es David, that worked on behalf of David HaMelech, called machlokois chodesh. Each one of them worked for 1 month. If you look at the whole inyan, the whole context of those psukim in Divrei Hayomim, it sounds like that he was only poydish 1 month a year. Normally the way you would learn the pasuk would be 1 month and then 11 months. However, Rav kro yeseder. The habo'o v'hayoytzis darish. He's bothered by, not bothered, but he focuses on the extra words, the havalei l'michtav, ha'mesharsim is a melech, v'chol devar ha'machlekois. Chod she'ashana. Because of, it says, devar ha'machlekois, habo'o v'hayoytzis, chodesh v'chodesh, v'chol she'ashana. Ma'ash ma'sho, yushtei machlekois, nitzovim u'mesharsim. Sounds like that there were two divisions all together that were ready to go and do the sheirus, to go and serve David HaMelech. Shemesharsim im hashar, that go and our mesharis work together with the other divisions. Sezu vav chadosh medilik, sezu vav chadosh medilik. This one, 6 months, but skipping over. In other words, rotation, 1 month working, 1 month at home, 1 month working, 1 month at home for 6 months, and then another division would do the same thing for 6 months. Zu bav zu yoytzin. This comes and this one goes. Mi de chodesh v'chodesh. Every month, hari chodesh v'bayit beveis hamelech. 1 month they worked civil service in the king's palace, the king's home, and 1 month they went back home. Yafkan. And therefore, we learn from that the same thing applies to someone who wants to go away, for instance, to learn in a kailu. That what would be the oyrech v'milza like by David hamelech? Yafkan chodesh v'bayit beis rabbi v'chodesh beis. 1 month he can go away to the yeshiva. And 1 month you return to be home with your wife.
It doesn't say, though, while he's home 1 month with his wife, what's his obligation?
Once he comes home?
Yeah.
That the Gemara is going to address a little bit further down, that the Oides Tamid Chachamim is Me'erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, which means Friday night, which means the obligation is once a week. You can, of course, do more, but it's a minimum once a week. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Chodesh Kan Ushnayim Bebeisam. Rabbi Yochanan learns from another pasuk, not by David HaMelech, by Shloim HaMelech, that they're 1 month working on behalf of Shloim HaMelech, and then 2 months they got home. And then again, after the 3 months are over, again 1 month and 2 months. Shnema, Chodesh Yuba Levonoi, Shloim HaMelech sent them to Levonoi. Levonoi doesn't mean the country Lebanon, but it means the big forests that were in the north of Eretz Israel. And their job was to go and chop wood and similar types of jobs, and they were shnayim chodesh yivavon, and 1 chodesh they worked shnayim chadosh, but basically 2 months they stay at home. So now the question is, both psukim on the surface don't specifically relate to learning, but it refers to the sheiros of the king. So why is the posik of Rav talking about 1 month, 1 month better than or worse than Rabbi Yochanan's posik of 1 month and 2 months? Rav, why doesn't Rav learn from Rabbi Yochanan? It's more shani bin yibes amigdash. The work that they were doing levonin and chopping down the trees and chopping the wood was on behalf of the beis amigdash. And since there were others that were able to go and do the work, who were the others? So Rashi says they were designated 30,000 people all together, and the 30,000 worked 10,000, 10,000, and 10,000. So therefore, if you were one of the initial group of 10,000, you worked that 1 month, and then you'd be called up once again only 2 months later. Not 1 month later, because the next month you had 10,000, and the next month you had 10,000. Each month you had 10,000 people. So when it came your turn again, it was already 2 months later. That's the reason why we didn't need to do one and one. It was enough to do one and two. Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan learn like from David HaMelech, like Rav learns? Shani Hosam the Islay Har Vacha. In that case, there was a lot of revach. What means there was a lot of revach? So Rashi explains, even though vis-a-vis the wife, she lost the relation, that the having her husband be together with her every 30 days for a 30-day period. However, Baruch Hashem, the pay was very, very good. And as a result, that made up for the terrible discomfort of not having her husband with her at all times. If you look at the Rashi in the middle of the Amid, Shani Hosam the Isli Harvacha, Shayu Nehanin mi Beis HaMelech, they got a very nice salary from the king's palace household. They could have a Beis, and Baruch Hashem, there was Revach at home. Laficha Mikabelis Olea, so she was in agreement, Shiyi Beis HaMelech Chodesh Echad, Mishnei Chadashim, even though it means 6 months a year her husband wasn't home. Shekivin Shiyesh Lo Yischar, as a result of the nice schar that he received, there was a lot to eat, and she had enough to go and adorn herself. So the Gemara is telling us, yes, the reason why they agreed in David HaMelech's time is because Baruch Hashem, as a result of the very nice salary that these people drew, working 1 month and going home each month, the wives were very tzifri. However, when they go into Kailul, although they get the spiritual benefit in Tzchar, the women don't get the physical benefit down here below. They don't get that extra mezoinus. They don't get the extra tachshitim. And they lose their husbands. So therefore, 1 out of 3 months is enough, not each other month. That's how Rabbi Yechiel learns. Now, the next Gemara has nothing to do with the previous Gemara, other than the fact that we had a machloikis between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan involving psukim. It says Rashi, that's why the Gemara brings another machloikis Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. How do you darshan psukim? It's Omer Rav. Anocha sheveres chatzi gufo shel adam. And anocha means a krechts, which in English is a sigh or a groan. But it's not just a sigh. It's a sigh or a groan where you really feel pain for someone else, or you heard a terrible, terrible mishap, a terrible accident, whatever. That type of anocha that you give, a terrible sigh, has to show them that it can be so internalized, it can almost like break half of the person. Shneem says the pasuk biyata ben adam he anach b'shivrin masnayin u'bimariris te'anach. The word he anach is from the word anocha. Anocha again means to give a terrible sigh or a groan. That shivrin masnayin that causes, so to speak, half of a body's being broken at the masnayim level. Masnayim are the loins, the waist of an individual. So when a person gives such a deep groan or sigh, what happens is it's as if it breaks half of the body at the masnayim, at the loins level. No, it's not half of a body, it's the entire body. If someone asks you, why are you sighing and groaning? The Amarj, you should say, El Shmuel, because we are in the terrible, terrible story, Nebuch, of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, Kivah, which has arrived. The Nomis Kolev, and it causes all hearts to melt. Verofa Kol Yadayim, and it causes all hands to be weakened. The Kwasa Kol Ruach, and every spirit is Nebuch dulled and dimmed, and is hit. V'chol Berkayim, and all knees, Tilach Namayim, as if they're walking in water. In other words, after you hear these terrible stories, you struggle just to exist. So we see from this lashon that the nomis kol lev v'rofa kol yadayim, this is something that penetrates the entire body, this anocha, amo ato nenach. So Rav said it only breaks half of the body, like half of the spirit. But Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it can break the entire body. Thank you, Rabbi Yochanan Yoksev, b'shivr masnayim. What does he do with the pasuk of Rav? He says, ha'idachim mischala, imasnayim mischala. Yes, it starts from the loins, because the loins, that's halfway of the body, but then it continues up and it continues down until it destroys the entire spirit of the person. Rav Nami Oksiv, and Nami's Kolei Verovu Kol Yadayim, because a Kolua sounds like the entire body, not just a half a body. Shani Shmuda Beis HaMikdash, the Tekifa Tuva, that's such a terrible, terrible story that one hears. Now, this is talking contemporaneously, not talking about today. At the time when they heard about the terrible destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, there was such a terrible, terrible report that caused anybody that heard this report to have a total shivrei haguf, a sigh today, but only go half of the body, not a full body. Now the Gemara tells us a story to illustrate what we're talking about. Who you saw by the Chum Davkazi Barucha. There was a yid and a goy that were traveling together on the road. Bahadi Adodi, they were traveling more or less together. However, the Jew was outpacing the guy, probably the first time and maybe the only time in history that the Jew was able to go and outwalk or outrun the guy. But into every Kachov in the school year, Bahadi Yisrael, he wasn't able to catch up to him. And apparently the guy knew about this Gemara, and he figured, I'm going to cause the Jew to have an anocha, to have a groan or a deep sigh, and that's going to hopefully slow him down. Adkere, so the guy called out to the yid, and he said to him, don't you remember the Chorban Beis HaMikdash? When the Jew heard just the mention of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, Nogid le'isnach, he said, ay, yes, what we went through, the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Afilohachi, even after that, he still couldn't catch up to him, that the yid was outpacing him. On Malay, so the guy says, Lava Mitzvah, didn't I hear that you learned in the daf today that Anocha Shiveris Chatzigufi Shalodim, according to Rav, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, are Agantzaguf, and nevertheless you're able to outpace them. All Malaysi told him, Hani Minimutza Chadati. That's if you hear brand new news about a terrible tragedy that happened. Abba, talking about the Mikdash, the Shonanba, unfortunately, we've been reviewing it, we've known about it for so many years, like, that unfortunately no longer has that same terrible negative effect as if it was brand new news, and therefore it doesn't cause that Shivra and Chatzigo for the Shivra life that the Gemara is alluding to. The Amrinchi, people have an expression, to Milfi Tachli Loivasa. Rachman Leslan, a woman that has miscarried children, fetuses, already a couple of times, when it happens a third and a fourth and a fifth time, it no longer is that terrible tragedy that it was the first time. First time a woman has a miscarriage, she feels beyond herself, and sometimes she can't get back to herself for days, weeks, and months. She feels so upset. But if it happens already a second or third time, she raises her hand and say, unfortunately, it's not the first time, and she's kind of used to it, so to speak. So therefore, that's why he didn't slow down the Jew in this race together with the guy.
There's a story a few years ago when the Jews came from Ethiopia, and they didn't know the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and this girl came to visit the Beis HaMikdash, and she was shocked to find out the Beis HaMikdash. It's really get a sense of what it's like to not know that it happened.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Hatayol b'chol yai. Okay, so we said in the Mishnah, what's the oina or amura b'tayra? Hatayol b'chol yai. The people that are metayim. Metayim usually means people that are, you know, travelers, right? People go on a tiyul. B'chol yai, every day. Now, who is my tayol? I think we're going to have a couple of explanations. Amarava. Amarava says b'nei pirki. B'nei pirki means those that are learning in kailel, learning a full day, at night, they're together with their wives. B'chol yai. Amalei Abaye says, really? That doesn't sound right. Man d'chsibu, it says about the lady folk of these koil, in other words, the koil wives, shav lecha mashkile kov miachre sheves, oichle lecha batzom ke yitain li didoi sheinim. The poshup shot is, shav lecha, for naught are those mashkime kum who get up very early in the morning, miachre sheves, who goes to sleep late at night, working hard for their parnasim. Oichle lecha batzom, when they eat the bread, it's batzom, it's with pain, ke yitain li didoi sheinim, so Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give to his friend his Sheina over here, as the Gemara will explain, means sleep. What does this mean? So the Gemara learns that the word Yedidoi comes from the Lord Lashon of Menadadois. Menadadois means to kind of to jump and skip and try to push away the Sheina. Omer of Yitzchok Eilu Mishasem Shaltim Necham. These are the Koyl wives. She Menadadois Shina Me'eneyim Ba'ilam Hazeh. That they keep on pushing off the sleep from their eyes in this world. Uboy is the Chai Oilam Abba. Now what does that mean, they push away the sleep? Says Rashi, that their husbands are so diligent in their learning, they come home very, very late at night, and the wives try to stay up to be with them when they come home. However, by that time, it's already late. Everybody is sleeping in the household, and everybody's sleeping all over. So, the way our Gemara is learning is that those that are depending on their own hands and their own wits to be able to make parnasa, and because of that they get up early and they go to sleep late, they don't compare to these koil wives who do the same, that they are so devoted to their husbands, and the husband comes home very, very late, they are still up trying to help them with their needs, presumably even supper or whatever else they need. However, the Gemara assumes, as a Tova Pashit, they are no longer able to have tashmish that night. It's just too late at night. He doesn't have the koyach. She doesn't have the koyach. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Every day. So that's just not logical. It doesn't make sense. And therefore, Elmon Abaye Kidrav, Yom Rav, going to Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. Shmuel Bar Shilas we had back on Daf Nun, as you may recall. He was a malamed. And he worked hard. The Ochel Medidei V'Shasim Medidei. Even though he was not a worker in the traditional sense of regular profession, but he was in the limud of a malamid of children profession. If you look at Rashi brings here 7 or 8 lines down from where we are in the Gemara, Rashmul Bashidis Malamid Tilikasayu Mispardis Meha. That was his parnasa. Kinamini Benarish Mispatha back in Dafnud, but the Gemara said over there that Rebbe told Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, maybe Rav told Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, that he should only accept Talmidim from the year, from the age of 6 years and older, not younger than 6 years. At that time, 6 years are both physically and emotionally, and have a certain degree of maturity that can start learning Torah at that point. Anyway, so Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas was a successful Melamed, and also midday he had Baruch Hashem enough to eat for himself and to drink for himself. The goni betula d'apadne, and he would go and sleep in the shadow of his home. The cholif pristika de malka abave, and the pristika de malka, that would be the equivalent of today's tax collectors, would not go by his home because he saw that he lived modestly. He's obviously not an oisher. He's a melamed, and he just eats from his own and sleeps from his own. You know, no gross fortunes. So what about them? So he's saying he is the type of person that Baruch Hashem, he has panasa from his limud of the tzinaikis. He doesn't stay in the koil until 3 o'clock in the morning. So presumably he would be one of the tayolim that the Gemara is talking about, that he could live theoretically with his wife every day. Ki osa rovin omar, ki goy mefanki de marova. These are talking about the mfunakim. Now, mfunakim means people who are finicky and have delicate individuals. But here we mean specifically people who are mu'unogim. Rashi, about 10 lines from the bottom, says, B'nei Eretz Yisrael, mu'unogim b'machal u'mishte. They, Baruch Hashem, they eat lavishly, they eat well. Eating and drinking, the kachim b'riyim, because of that they're strong, u'bali koyach l'tashish, and they're able to have tashmish on a frequent basis. So Gemara gives now examples. Rebavo, have a koy be'bari. Rebavo must have been a very strong individual, as we'll see in a moment. He was going to the Beis HaMerchatz, the communal bathhouses. They didn't have baths in private homes like we have today. So people went to the communal bathhouses, which often were combined with a mikveh. So he was going there. Havasamchi lei trei avdi. He was being held up from both sides by two avodim. You would think that he must be a weakling, he must be very fragile and delicate, that two avodim are holding him up. Anyway, as they're in the beibani, there in the bathhouse, ifchis beibani me to say, the floor of the bathhouse fell in and collapsed. The reason why that collapsed was because it was specially made in such a fashion that the water on top would drain underneath that level where people were bathing and people were showering, etc. And also underneath they had the heating elements to cause that there should be a warm air coming up so that the bathhouse would be warm and the water would be warm. So there was a hollow underneath the floor where people would be bathing, and underneath that the water would then seep out like in a drain or a sewer fashion, and also you had the heating elements. And guess what happened? So one day, after presumably many years, boom, the floor fell in. Isrami le amuda, where Rebavo was standing, there was an omen that was one of the pillars that presumably held up the roof and held up this bathhouse. So he was right next to it. Salik, he was able to climb up that omit, climb up so that he shouldn't chas v'sholom get killed down below. And Baskinu, and he, with one hand, was scaling the omit, climbing up the omit. With the other hand, he was holding on to the other two avodim and bringing them up. What he was trying to prove over here, that he was very, very strong. The obvious question is, if that's the case, why did he have the two avodim holding him up in the first place? We'll get to that in a moment. Mara tells us a virtually identical story. Rabbi Yochanan have a kasolik b'darga. He was going up the stairs. Have a samchilein. He was being propped up and supported by Rav Ami v'Rav Asi. Ifchasa darga to say. Unfortunately, one of the steps of the ladder of the staircase never collapsed, and he also fell in. So that he was able to climb his way up Vaskinu, holding on to Rav Ami v'Rav Asi and bringing them up with him. So one hand he was climbing up, and the other hand he was pulling up Rav Ami v'Rav Asi. Amr lebanu, v'chi mi'acha d'ochi. If you happen to be so strong, Rabbi Yochanan, what do you need these two people to help you? You have to help them, they don't have to help you. Baruch Hashem, you got plenty of strength. Amr le Rabbi Yochanan answered, in kein ma'aniach li'eis zikna. I don't want to use all of my strength up now. I want to conserve my strength. That's why I have these two gentlemen to support me. So Mirat Hashem, in later years, when people become fragile and frail because of age, By that time, I hope to still retain a lot of my koyach because I didn't spend it now. Anyway, so we just give you an example that these two are people of Baruch Hashem, are Briyim and Bali Koyach. So theoretically, they could have had Tashmish on a daily basis. Rav Avoh, it's not that surprising because Rav Avoh, you recall, was a shtadlan on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Shtadlan means their representative to go frequently to the Beis HaKesar to argue in front of the government officials. So therefore, presumably, he was well-fed, so he should be a statesman, person that should have such an aristocratic bearing when he goes and approaches the Melech and the Kesar and the government officials. Rabbi Yochanan says elsewhere was a Balbosser. So it would not be surprising because the Gemara said that these are Bnei Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Munogim B'mach L'Mishnah. Hard to view Rabbi Yochanan as a person who would indulge himself in big feasts. But Rabbi Yochanan was a Balbosser. Another reason why he may have needed the additional help of Rav Ami Rav Asi, the Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia that Rabbi Yochanan had very heavy eyelids, and therefore he needed someone to go and just raise the eyelid. He needed a helper. So presumably most of the time the eyes were shut, and therefore it would be difficult for him to see and to walk on his own, so he had helpers from both sides to help him along to be able to walk. But that, L'chayre, is also for Enfer, another kasha, because Gemara in Bava Metzia says that Rabbi Yochanan was a very, very handsome individual, and he would sit outside
the
mikvahs, so that when the women went to mikvah, they would come out, they would see him, they would after that live with their husbands. So it's like the story of Yaakov Avinu with the...
The sheep.
Exactly.
The menuchah and the striped and the spotted and the speckled.
And the speckled, etc.
Gray so and everything.
When it's once again, when they would see Rabbi Yochanan, and hopefully then they would have children that would have the countenance,
handsomeness,
is that such a word? Good. The beauty of Rabbi Yochanan, and that would hopefully go and come onto their children. But the obvious question is, okay, so they should look at him, it's fine. But what about his seeing them when they're coming out of the base bunny, when they're coming out of the mikveh? But he couldn't see them because his eyelids were very, very heavy, so he wasn't able to see anyone. So they only saw him, and he didn't see them. And we go on, Vaitavapayalim Shtayim B'Shabos. The Mishnah says that workers, twice a week is the minimum that they have to. Obviously, the women are allowed to go and waive their rights. A woman that says, I can't do Tashrish every night or twice a week, you know, that's fine. But that's the obligation that the person has. And if she's able to accept it, he's a tight. But Bialim Shtayim B'Shabbos, twice a week. Breaking over time, but another price is that Bialim Achas B'Shabbos. Now make up your mind, is it twice a week or once a week? If they are locals that are working locally, they have local stores, local marketplace that they work, and they are home the whole week. In other words, they go out in the morning to the store, at night they're home. Okay, then it's every single day. However, or at least Shtayim B'Shabbos, I should say. However, those type of workers that don't work locally, they live in New York, but they go to New Jersey and they stay over during the week, or vice versa, or whatever. They wait for it during the week, so then they only have that duty of oyna once a week. If they're in their own city, twice a week. If they're constantly walking, traveling, and staying elsewhere during the week, because they're malacha is b'ir acheres, achas b'shabbos once a week. Hachamorim achas b'shabbos. Chamorim are ezel drivers. These are donkey drivers. Then it's once a week. Omele rabba barba rab chonon liabai. Ich botan lashmina tayu poyil. What's bothering the Gemara? If we go back to the Mishnah once again, to Samach Aleph Omid days, we have at the beginning of the Mishnah, Hamadir es ishto mitashish amita, a person that makes a neder towards his wife and says that Hanoas tashmishcha olai, I don't want to have any Hanoah anymore from tashmish from you. He's not allowed to go and ask her his tashmish on her because he has a shibud, a nosal yigra, but he can go and ask her Hanoas tashmish on him. So it says in the Mishnah, no, how long can a person do that and his wife should suffer? Mishami Amr Shtesha Basis, 2 weeks. Basil says Shabbos Achas, 1 week. And what happens after those 2 weeks or 1 week? So we already learned in the Gemara yesterday that if he doesn't change his mind after 2 weeks or 1 week, then Yoitzi li Alta Mitin Ksuba. Not Mitin Alta, Yoitzi Mitin Ksuba. At that point, if he's not willing to go and matter neder, to go and find a Pesach l'nidroi, then he has to go and divorce his wife. Now, when we say that a person made such a neder, and you have to wait a week or 2 weeks, Misham Beis Hillel, the question is, what is his profession? At the end of the Mishnah, we learned, for instance, that the Gamolim are achas l'shloishim yoyim. Those that travel afar, they happen to be camel drivers, 1 to 30 days. Hasafonim, if you happen to be a person that is a sailor, achas l'shisha chadoshim, 6 months. So if the person says to his wife, I'm going now away for 6 months because I'm a sailor, and by the way, I want to aser your tashmish on me for the next 2 weeks, what difference does it make? They're not going to be together for 6 months anyway. So Elamai, what is the mother's ishtoi? What's the issue of Bisham Bisham? They must be talking about people where there's a very short time obligation or a very frequent oina obligation, such as the Tayolim, which are Chol Yoyim, HaPayalim, which are Shtayim B'Shabbos. And now you're cutting it down from every day in Shtayim B'Shabbos, you want to go and say, also for a week or for 2 weeks, then we got to start talking about a get. And
no, it's not ushering for 2 weeks. He's ushering it indefinitely. It's just how long can he hold out? Isn't that the pshat in the Mishnah?
If you go back to yesterday's Gemara, you'll remember there was a machloikis, whether it's Bistam or B'Mefarish.
Okay.
All I'm just trying to do is to dramatize the pshat in the Mishnah so we understand the Gemara.
Okay.
What the Gemara is saying is, if you're talking about people that anyway have a lengthy oina obligation, the 30 days or the 6 months, by going and assuring on himself, tashmish, with her, and you're saying the only amount that we're going to allow her to go and hold out is a week or 2 weeks, and after that she can go to Bezdin and say, Bezdin, I want my get, I can't stand this situation, you have to wait anyway for another 5-6 months until he comes home because he's a sailor. Right. So that cannot be the case that the Mishnah is addressing. It must be addressing someone with a frequent oina obligation. For instance, once a week or twice a week. And if he's saying, no, I can't do this tashrish anymore, she says, oh no, there's trouble brewing here. And after a week or two, she'll go to Bezdin to go and get a get and a ksup. So says the Gemara, back to the Gemara, Omid Aleph, Omid Rabba Bar of Chonam Yabayim, Ichbul Tana, Lashminan, is the Tana straining himself to repeat himself, to tell this halach of Tayil Upoil, that they have this frequent obligation vis-a-vis Oina. He can't be talking about Chamorim or Gamolim or Safonim, where it's a much longer period. Let's look at the bottom. Rashi, Ichbul Tana, Lashminan, 3 lines for the end. Tayil Upoil. Tana, the Sosa Liel, the Tana that in the beginning of the Mishnah he says him, he doesn't say what he's referring to. Hamada says Ishtu Beisilam Shabbos Achas and Beishami, of course, to Shabbos. Ain Loi Loimer Zois, this wouldn't apply. It's happened. The Gamav, the Chamor, El Loi Betamid Chom Shehari Afa Chamer Inosi Achas Beishabbos. Anyway, the Chamer is only once a week. So if he's going to go and say we're not going to live together for a week, he only talked about 1 week. Because they are refraining from having or withdrawing from having oina one time in their lives, because that's already oina. Anyway, his oina is from week to week. Because when there you're talking about a month or 6 months, so the only ones that are really affected by this type of neder is the tayil upoil or isa b'locha be'ira shadak l'shamish tayim b'shabbos. And now we're going to lose out on the daily tayil or the twice a week by saying I'm not going to do it, and you're stuck for a week. Those are the only two l'choy that are really impacted. Oh, Malays, he told them, no, loy akulu, it's going on everybody. I the safanim by shish chadashin coming. The safanim only have an obligation 1 to 6 months. And for the Gemara, in the doing mishish lepas besaloi, mishain lepas besaloi. How can you compare someone who has the comfort of knowing that he or she has the bread in the basket, as opposed to a person who doesn't have the bread in the basket? What does all of that mean? So Rashi says it's very, very simple. If you have a wife that's married to a sapan, okay, she knows that she's going to live by herself for 6 months, but at the end of 6 months, every day she takes the calendar, she's crossing off the day, another day, my husband is going to be home shortly. However, if the husband makes such a neder not to go and live with her, then she says, what's going to help when he's going to get back 6 months from now? I see that this marriage is on the rocks, because he's saying he doesn't want to go and have a nos tashmish with me. Oy, oy, oy. So she's not going to wait for the 6 months. She's going to want to go to Beza right now to put an end to this. I can't live with this type of situation. See Rashi, second line. Ein doy mali inyan tanis mishi yeshloi. Av kan b'le neder dat nuicha lebala shemiyovi b'toy chazman. If things are good, he's going to come home. Maybe he'll come home sooner. Who knows? Avazu mishaydira harik mishayna mitzap lebal. There's nothing for me to look forward to. And if he comes home in 2 weeks from now, mazel tov, he's not going to live with me anyway. So therefore, that's the reason why our Tana, in the beginning of the Mishnah, not just referring to a tayo or a poyo, referring to across the board, everybody. Back to the Gemara, third line from the top. Omli Rabba Baruchan le Abayim. Cham Rav Nasi Gomel Mai. What happens when they got married? The business that he was in was driving a chamor. And the drivers of the chamor was once a week. But afterwards he became a gamel, a camel driver. I guess he must have gotten a pay upgrade, and now he is driving a camel, and he's only going to come home once a month. My, what can he do that shaloi bershus? Can he do that without her permission? Or does he have to ask her for permission? I want to change jobs, but realize I'm not going to be home that frequently, that much. Malaysi told the roitzi ishebekav the tiflus, me'asar kavin o precious. The derech of a woman is she prefers having a kav, being able to subsist on a smaller amount of parnasa and a smaller amount of mezainos, the tiflis, but have the company of her husband. The asara kavin, instead of being an ashira, being very wealthy and getting 10 times as much than kavin, upricious, and not having the benefit of the comfort of her husband being here, being with her, to share company and to share intimacy. Hasapon machlus shishchadosh and divrei blessing. So the Gemara, and how did the Gemara and the Mishnah ended off? Divrei blessing, which is a very unusual Mishnah because there's nobody else mentioned in the Mishnah. But the Gemara is going to tell us that in fact there is a machlokes. Omer Rav Bruna, Omer Rav halacha divrei blessing. He passed like a blessing. Omer Rav Ada bar Hava, Omer Rav zu divrei blessing. Aval chacham amayim matalmidim yotzim l'talmud Torah beis v'gimel shanim shloim brishus. That we should know that, although we learned in the Gemara before that the Talmidim Yotzel Talmud Torah Shalim Rishus Shloishim Yoyim, that was the Lashon HaMishnah, 30 days. However, the Chacham disagreed with Reb Lezer and say that a Talmud Chacham can go away even for 2 or 3 years Shalim Rishus without the authority of his wife. Even though the wife says, no, I don't want you to go, he has the right to leave 2 or 3 years. But as we'll see, unfortunately, it can have terrible, tragic consequences. Omerova, some Chorobonim Adar of Adar Barahava, some Talmid Chacham followed what Rav Adar Barahava said, that Zudiv Rav Lezer 30 days, but Chacham Oimrim even Beis V'Gimel Shonim, the Avdi Uvda Ben Avshayu, and they actually did this Uvda, they practiced what they preached, so to speak, and they went away for the 2 or 3 years. Now, normally when you say Nigmara Avdi Uvdu and Afshayu, it just means they didn't just paskin for somebody else, they paskin for themselves. They themselves went and followed this psak. However, the word Benafshayu over here has a second meaning has a double meaning. Benafshayu means at the peril of their nefashis, of their lives. If you look at the Rashi right next to the Gemara, Benafshayu, Rubolehem, Lito Mehem Nefashis. If you have a husband that leaves his wife for 2 or 3 years, even if al pi halacha he's allowed to do so shaloi brishus, but it's dangerous and chas v'shalom can be at the peril of their lives. As the Gemara explains, ki hod rav rachumi have shchiach kamei de rova b'mochayza. Rova is known as a ruvim b'mochayza. Have a rogel to have a osi lebeisei kol mali yom dekipuri. He used to come home once a year on erev Yom Kippur. Not the best time of year to engage in Tashmish that night, but presumably it would be Matzah Yom Kippur. Yoy Mechad, one day, meaning 1 year, every year he came, every Erev Yom Kippur, 1 year after 5 years, 10 years, Moshchasei Shmaitzeh, he was in the middle of a Tifa Shtikl Torah, Tifa Rambam, and unfortunately he was coming late. Am Mesachyeh Debisu, and his wife was staring at the window, staring at the door. Rashi says, when Mitzachi means Mitzapeh, she's waiting with a great longing for her husband. It's been a year since he's been here. Hashta Asi, she keeps on saying to herself and to her family, oh, I hear that the the footsteps of our husband, of our father, or we hear the footsteps of the horse and the wagon. They're about to arrive, and each time she opens the door, she gets disappointed. And unfortunately, also, by the time he got himself out of being immersed in the Gemara, the Rambam, it was already too late to come for Yom Kippur, and therefore he stayed in Mechoiz and he didn't come home. Cholish Daita, she unfortunately felt so bad. She was really longing for her husband's company. He's finally coming home after a year. Ochis Dimasami Eina, and she started Nebuch shedding tears. And as a result, Havi Yosef Beigra, the husband, Rav Rechumi, he was sitting on the roof. Ifchis Igra, and the roof Nebuch fell in. We too say underneath him, Enoch Nafshe, and Nebuch, he passed away from the demois, from the tears of his wife.
So he was home, but he was sitting on the roof?
He was home?
I'm saying, I understand the connection between her tears and him sitting on a roof and falling in.
The connection is that because she felt so bad, he didn't come home, that's why he died.
I don't see the cause and effect.
She lives in a town called Kishkan Halash.
Okay.
He went from Kishkan Halash to Mechoyzer,
right,
and he stayed there for a year.
Right.
And he told his wife, don't worry, I'm going to be back on Erev Yom Kippur.
Right.
And in year Tovshin Ayin Aleph, he came back Erev Yom Kippur. Tovshin Ayin Beis, Erev Yom Kippur. Tovshin Ayin Gimel, Erev Yom Kippur. And so on and so forth for the next 5-10 years. Tovshin Pei Beis, Erev Yom Kippur, he got immersed in a deep Rambam, and by the time he picked himself up from the Rambam and he looked at the Zayger, it was already 5 o'clock. Yom Kippur was 6 o'clock. I'm not going to make it from Mechoyze to Kishkan Holish in time. That's what's happened. He's in Mechoyze, he had the Tzud HaMafsekes, he put on his kittel, and he went, sat on the roof, waiting for the Baal Tevila to start Kol Nidre. In the meantime, Mrs. Rechumi, who is back in Kishkan Holish, she is waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally she says, it's too late. The last bus has already left from Mechoyze. It's impossible. He's not coming home. And she was so despondent, so depressed, so distressed, that she started crying. Back to Mechoyze. He, Rav Rechumi, was sitting there waiting in his kittel, waiting for Kol Nidre. As a result of her tears in Kishkan Halash, they had this spiritual effect that the roof on what he was sitting became weak and collapsed, and Nebuch he collapsed with it, and Nebuch he passed away. And that's what Imar was saying of the Ugdim and Afshayu. They followed this psak. They only have to come back every 2 or 3 years, in this case every year, but that was not a good decision because it was at his life's peril. So Frank Timara, assuming normal situations where a Talmud Chacham is local, this is what Daniel asked at the beginning of the share, what is their oina? Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. The word Erev over here doesn't mean what we say Erev, which means Friday. It means Erev means at night, like Leil Shabbos, Leil Shabbos, every Friday evening. Ashapiria Yitam B'Itoi. This is the proper Itoi, the proper time, the proper oina is Friday night. Elsewhere, the Gemara said, I think of brachas, that it was customary that people would eat garlic on Friday night because that has apparently some sort of nutrition and mineral value, that it's Mazriya Zera. It strengthens the man's Zera to be able to impregnate his wife. Says the Gemara, Yehuda Berei Rav Chia, Chasni Rabbiane. Another terrible tragic ending here. Yehuda Berei Rav Chia was the Chasni. Chasni means he was the Edom, the son-in-law of Reb Yanai. Have Ozel Yosef the Bey Rav. He was sitting in the Smedrish in where he was learning. The called Bey Shimshi have Ozel Beise. The word Bey Shimshi Stam in the Gemara typically means Friday. He would come home every Friday afternoon. Have Ozi. When he would come home, have a kochozi kamei amuda denur. Obviously, it must have been a very, very great Talmud Chacham. When he came, in front of him would come an amuda denura, a pillar of fire, a pillar of light that preceded him and preceded his coming. Yoy mechad mashkosei shmeitzim. One erev Shabbos, unfortunately, again he got immersed in his learning, and he didn't arrive. Kimin dolechozi usimna. That simon of the Amuda Denura, which usually preceded him, didn't come down that day because he's not arriving on the scene. He stayed Bebei Rav, he stayed in the Bismedesh, he stayed in the Yeshiva. So Rabbi Yanai, who was his shver, his father-in-law, Amul Rabbi Yanai said to the Bnei Bayis, to the people of the household, Kfu mitasai, go and do kfiya samita. Wow. You remember back in Masechtas Moed Katan, we learned that one of the ways that people commemorate or observe Shiva is to do kfiya samita. We don't do that minhag today, and that's because we're worried that the goyim will think that we're engaging in sorcery. But that was the minhag in those days, that did kfiya samita, they would turn over the beds. Shemoli Yehuda Kaim. So now says Rabbi Yanai about his son-in-law, you could turn over the bed, he must have passed away. Shemoli Yehuda Kaim, if he was alive, he's a yekid. Loi bitlei nasi, he would have been here. He would have been here on time. After all, he comes every Friday, Friday. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he's home. He didn't come. Something must have happened. Even though he was still alive, this Yehuda paraded Reb Chiya, but because Reb Yanai said those words, it's like words bishkoga that came out by accident. Yoitzmi pilachalit before the great ruler, v'nachnafshi and Nebuch, these words became self-fulfilling, and Taka the Yehuda never passed away. Rabbi Asikle the Brei Bei Reb Chiya. Rabbi wanted to go and marry off his son to the daughter of Reb Chiya. Kimotel nuchta ksuva, as they were about to write the ksuva, in other words, they made all the arrangements and all the negotiations, were about to write the ksuva, nuch nafsha de Rabisa. Nebuch, the daughter of Reb Chiya, Nebuch passed away, and they weren't able to continue with the writing of the ksuva. Omer Rebbe, chas sholem, psula ikka. There must have been some psul over here. This is not normal. Why weren't we able to go and completely shidduch over here and sign the ksuba and then go further? So there must have been some psul in the mishpach. As you see, v'vayinim mishpachas, and the Feichtaka sat down to go through the yichus, and they found that Rebbe Osi Mishvatya ben Avital, that he was a direct descendant of Shvatya ben Avital. And Shvatya ben Avital, Rashi says, Avital was one of the, either Avital or probably, you know, one of them was a wife of David HaMelech. If you go to Shvatya ben Avital, it says Shvatya ben Avital. It should say Shvatya ben Bas Avital. If you look at Rashi halfway down the Omer, Shvatya ben Avital, ben David Hoya, Avital Shein Eishes David. Avital, so that's good. So Shvatya was a man, but he was the son of Avital, the wife of David HaMelech. Reb Chiya, on the other hand, Osi Rashi, I'm continuing the Rashi, Reb Chiya Osi Mishimi. Shimi was a brother of David, but wasn't a descendant of David. And Osi Mishimi, Vizel Hapsul Shrebi Hoyu Beis David. He came from Beis David. Vloy Hoyu Sebas Haba Mishimi. Hoy Genes Lebnoi. Vloy Hoyu Sebas Molochim. So Rebbe said the fact that she passed away shows that it must have been some sort of psul. We don't mean a real psul. We just meant that her mishpacha was not on the same level as his mishpacha, in the sense that he comes from real royalty, directly from David HaMelech. However, Reb Chiya came from the brother of David HaMelech. Reb Chiya Osi Mishimi Hachidah.
Being the brother of the king is also royalty. It feels very, very slight difference.
I'm with you, and I agree with you, and if I would have been there, I would have insisted we should do the shidduch, but unfortunately, she passed away. She's the other member, so... Okay. Apparently she was such a tzedekis, they couldn't attribute anything else to her passing other than the difference in the yichas and mishpachas. Ozli Yasa Leg Lebrei Bei Rabbi Yosef Ben Zimra. No, the son has to get married. So, he got married to the daughter of Rabbi Yosef Ben Zimra. Poskulei, and they were poising, meaning they decided at the time of the negotiations, the ksuba, the times of the tenoyim, the Paschalei Tarti Sri Shonim Lemezel Beveirat. And he'll have the opportunity of leaving right after the Chasana, going for 12 years to Koilil, and not to have to come back during that interim period. Okay, that's what they agreed to, at least in theory. Or in principle. Achlefur Kameh. And then subsequently, they had the Kala walk by this young man, the son of Rebbe, and apparently she was attractive. Apparently he hadn't seen her previously. Amalahu nehevi shitshnit. You know what? Let's split it down instead of 12 years. I'll go away for 6 years, and I'll come back after six. Achlefu kamei, and then once again she passed by, and apparently she was sufficiently attractive that Amalahu, he said to them, ichnis b'hoder ezel. First, let me live with her, and then I'm going to go on the way. Sounds like from here, that initially he was going to go away even before the chasana.
Yeah.
That's hard to believe, so or hard to understand. So perhaps what he meant to say is, first I'll stick around for a month, and then I'm going to go away for the 6 years to the Kaaba. So now, the son of Rebbe was afraid that his father would look down upon him and say, here you agreed to 12 years, and here you agreed to 6 years, and now you want to stick together with your wife, you know. Where's your cheshek and learning? Where's your commitment to Torah? So that's why he thought he was ashamed in front of his father. Malay, so Rebbe told him, no, Bini, you shouldn't be ashamed. Quite to the contrary. Das koinish yesh b'cha. You should know that you are following in the same approach as Kaviyachal the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Where do you see that? Meikar Ksiv originally, Kodesh Baruch Hu, in the Shira, said to Klai Yisrael, Tiviyayimai v'sitayim b'har nachloscha, Mochon l'shivzcha po'alto ad Hashem. Mikdash Hashem koinu yedecha. Kodesh Baruch Hu, Tiviyayimai. First, I'm going to bring you into Eretz Yisrael. V'sitayimai, I'm going to have you plant in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, you'll get your nachla in Eretz Yisrael, presumably therefore after 7 or 14 years. And then after that, then we're going to talk about the Mochon l'shivzcha po'alto Hashem. Mikdash Hashem koinu yedecha. We're talking about then, about the creation, about the building of a base of Mikdash. Ah, only after we get to Eretz Yisrael. But after that, Kodesh Baruch Hu changed his mind. Here already in the Midbar, I want you to go and build a Mishkan so that I will be together with you. And so therefore, that's what he's saying. Initially, Kodesh Baruch Hu's kavana was, I won't have a residence with Klal Yisrael for the next 10 years until they get into Eretz Yisrael, until they build the base of Mikdash. And Kodesh Baruch Hu relented. He said, no, let's first get together the Shechina with Klal Yisrael here. It's the same thing he said to his son, you're following in the footsteps of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Also, Yosef Tardes Rishni. So apparently he stayed first with his wife for a while, and then after that, in fact, he went away for the 12 years. So I guess there was further negotiations and discussions. He went away for 12 years. The Beirav in the Koil in the Yeshiva. The Osa, by the time he came back 12 years later, he akar debiso, unfortunately his wife became an akar. And Rashi says, it is not so strange, because those women that sit around for 10 years without a husband, unfortunately, become nisakra. Rashi brings from another Gemara in Sechtes Yivamos. If you look at the Rashi,
means
sterile.
A woman can no longer have children. Amar Rebbe, so Rebbe said now, hey Chanabri, what should we do now? Nigrisha, after all, we learned back in Sechtes Yivamos that a husband and wife that are together for 10 years, I don't mean together physically, but they are married for 10 years. And after 10 years, there's no child, then it's a mitzvah to go and give her a get and to move on and marry somebody else. Say, Chanabi, Nigrisha, should we go and say, should give her a get? You know what people are going to say? Aniyazu, never this poor woman. Leshov Shimra, she waited around for naught for 12 years, and after 12 years, he gives her a get. Can you see? That's how the Kapachim put him. Then, it's Achriti, he should go and marry a second wife in addition to the first wife. Then they're going to say, I know why he has two wives. The new wife, that's for procreation, for having children. And the one, that first wife, what does he keep her for? Zanasi, just for being able to live together. It's obvious she's an akara, she's not having children. So why does he keep her? He's keeping her so he should have a hanoah from the wife. Is that what they're going to go and say? Ah. So therefore, Boyalor Achmi, therefore he went and said a lot of tilim. He asked for Rachman for Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's this and Baruch Hashem that reversed her sterility and she became fruitful once again.
Obviously, because the one is doing her trip instead of going to call Shakyatari about it. Dumb first and then they wouldn't have a problem.
We don't know how long this discussion took. It could be the whole thing was a 10-second brainwave that he was thinking, what am I going to do now? Nebuch, I just heard from the doctor that she's in a car. And what should we do? Should we go and give a get? People are going to say. If he's going to hold on to marry another woman, people say, oh, let's go and say to him right now. It's a Zemborchim Chandrafu. It doesn't say that this took 12 years until he was Mesmal. It's saying that after they told him the terrible news that she's in this Nisakra, Yakra, they said, okay, now it's full of time. They doubted, and it happened. And we have a similar situation. So Timur Rabchanan Yibin Chachinoi, Avgazel Beirav, Mishiloi, Hilule, the Ribshim Ben Yechoi. Hanani ben Chachinoi went to the Besmedish, to Koil, to learn. At the end of the Sheva Brochas time, of Reb Shimon Yechoi, who just got married, and he went and left prematurely. He didn't wait for the entire Sheva Brochas to end, and he went to the Yeshiva. Amalei, so Reb Shimon Yechoi asked him, could you do me a favor, stick around for another few days, we'll be able to go and travel together. But he didn't stick around. He went there to learn for 12 years. As he's returning home after 12 years, he discovered Ishtanu Shvili Demasa, that they changed the whole setup of all the roads and all of the streets in the town. He couldn't figure out where his home was. In other words, they changed all the avenues and all the blocks and all the... I don't know where to go. So he figured he'll wait around until something will happen, and something happened. He went and sat on the riverbank. He heard this young girl, that her friends were calling her, Paschachinoi. Remember, his name, of course, was Hananiah ben Chachinoi. Some of the Mefarshim speculate that the reason why they called her Bas Chachinoi, since Reb Hananiah wasn't home, she was presumably raised by her Zaidi, the Chachinoi. Therefore, they said that, that's the daughter of Chachinoi. Malei Kulascha, go and fill up your container, your jug. In other words, she apparently came down to the river to go and fill up a pail, or to fill up a canteen. So, go and fill it up and let's go. Omar, so now, Reb Hananiah ben Chachinoi, having overheard this conversation, must be my daughter. So he followed after them, and he found that his wife was at home, and she was busy with kemach. Apparently she was preparing to bake something, a bread, a cake, a challah, whatever it was. And Dolena, when she saw him coming home, apparently she wasn't expecting him pinked on that day. Tolena, she picked up her eyes, Chazite, and she saw him, Savi Liba. She became so overwhelmed with emotion seeing her husband for the first time after 12 years. Parach Rucha the Nebuch, she passed on. So now, Reb Hananiah ben Chachinoi, who has now Rachmonis on his wife, says, "And Yezu Zeschara." You know what people are going to say? She waited in Zis for 12 years. Her husband comes home, and Nebuch she passed away. What a story! Boy, Rachmi Allah, and he met again immediately. Then they didn't wait a month on the spot. Rachmi Allah, he started saying, "Tell him, Chayim Baruch Hashem Tchias Amesim." Obviously, this is even a greater nest than the previous one. Previous one. You reversed the sterility here, you brought it back to life.
We had him in Gemara Shabbos. Isn't he the one who wrote down the he took all the oil, the many barrels of oil.
And took it up to the Aliyah?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was a similar name. It's okay. I don't, it could be. I don't recall whether it's the same name, but I think it's similar, but I don't think
it's the same. What about the Tanur Hafina?
That was Achnoi with an ayin. This is Chachinoi with a ches. It's okay. Talking more about Reb Chama Bar Bisa, Ozel Yosef Treisri Shmi, the Bei Midrash. He also went away for 12 years to Beis Medrash to learn. He also, when he came back, Omar Lei Avid Kida Ovid Ben Chachinoi. So Reb Chama Bar Bisa obviously learned the daf, and he learned about what happened when Reb Hananiah Ben Chachinoi came back so suddenly. And the wife was so overcome with emotion and overwhelmed as to what happened. She says, "I'm going to be careful." So first he comes home, and he sat in the local Beis Medrash where his wife lived. And he sent a messenger, shliach, to his wife to tell her the good news that her husband's going to be arriving in another hour, so she shouldn't be so overwhelmed. She shouldn't be shocked. So Rabbi Yishia, his son, the son of this Reb Chama Bar Bisa, he came, Yosef Kamein, he was sitting there in the Beis Medrash. And Reb Chama Bar Bisa didn't realize that this happens to be his son, because after all, he hadn't been home for the last 12 years. And presumably his son was originally a Yingala, and now he's a Grace Abuchar. So he was sitting there in front of him, have a Kamashali Shmaitza. And he started asking him, Shilas there in the Beis Medrash, Chodzikam Nishadadi Shmaitze. And he saw, boy, this is a sharp young man, boy. This young man is going to grow up to be a great Talmud Chacham. I see the way he asks questions and his yedias and his charifas. Cholish Daite, and he, Reb Chama Bar Bisa, felt bad. Omar, he said, Yivai Hoche, if I would have stayed here instead of going away to Beis Medrash, Havali Zeraki Hai, then I would have had such a smart son like this young man, because I would have learned with him day and night, and he would have grown to be a great Talmud Chacham. I lost my opportunity because I went away. All the basic, so he finally went home, I guess an hour later. Old Bray and his son went in his footsteps, in other words, he followed him home. Come Kamei, And as the son is coming into the door, he, the father of Chum Bar Bisa, stood up for the son because he saw what a great Talmud Chacham he was. He didn't realize he was a son. Who saw the Mishalei Shmaitza? Who saw that? So he, Reb Chum Bar Bisa, assumed the Mishalei Shmaitza Kaboy. The reason why this young man is coming in is not because he's a son, because he wants to continue learning with him and asking him more shyness and more shyness. What do you do with this Rambam? What do you do with this Gemara? What do you do with this Tosfos? Hom relayed the Bisa. So now his wife said to Reb Chum Bar Bisa, Meika Abed Kohen Mikami Bro. I never heard of something like that, that a father stands up for the son. This is after your son. Oh, when he realized Reb Chum Bar Bisa that this is his son, of course he was overjoyed. The Gemara says about him, Rami Bar Chama said now about Reb Chum Bar Bisa and his son Reb Oishia, Hachuta Meshulosh L'Memheir Yidnosek, that the cord, which is triple ply, will not easily get disconnected or easily tear. What means this three ply cord? There Reb Oishia, Ben Oishia Reb Chama Bar Bisa. How do we know that? What do we mean about the three ply cord? So from our Gemara we see it wasn't just Reb Chama was a big Talmud Chacham, but Reb Bisa was also a big Talmud Chacham. So you start off with Reb Bisa, you go to Reb Chama, you go to Reb Oishia, so you have, that's your three ply cord that you have. Now if you look at the third Tosis, Tosis says Lefisha Shloshtan Ra'u Ze Eze, Kimrinim Bi Alma, Shom Reb Oishia Dabar, Basa Shalul Reb Bisa. When you have such a situation where you have the grandfather and then the father and then the son all being great Talmidei Chachamim, then you have a school and then a Mitzvah is going to continue on for all generations. However, that's only if they actually overlapped one another and saw each other. Not that there was one and then he had a son and then he passed away. It's got to be all three living contemporaneously, all be great Talmidei Chacham. That's already a school of Mitzvah. May Atav Yad Oilem forever. We should be Zoicha to that bracha. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai. Tomorrow we're going to learn about the famous legendary story about Rabbi Kiva and his wife, the daughter of the...